For anybody who doesn't know, my name is Dennis Cork. I have been attending PBF here for about 23 years. And before I want to speak, I want to tell you what I want to speak about. That way, when I'm finished, maybe you won't say, "What in the world was he talking about?" Also, what I want to speak about is to believers. And I think that most of us here are believers. However, if you're here and you're not a believer, maybe what I have to say might answer some questions. And if you're here and you're not a believer, it tells me that maybe you are searching. And my prayer is that you will find a loving, grace-filled Jesus. And I hope that's what I'm going to try to convey. What I'll be talking about is our role as individuals, a directive of Jesus to bring others to God. In my opinion, this is our most important job on earth. But how we do that, I think, will determine if those people will seek the Lord. My goal is that they'll believe in Jesus and become brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll need to give you a little background of my life, so hopefully you'll understand where I'm coming from. And if this part's boring, I apologize for that. As you probably all know, I am not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I have not been to Bible college. And I have very little formal education past high school. I grew up in a lower middle class family. And I remember attending this church. I remember attending in high school and junior high was a non-denominational country church, and every Sunday ended with the song "Just As I Am." That's an invitation to come forward. Now I remember coming to know Christ in the third grade while attending. Is a weekly Christian evening club. I can't remember the name of it. It's something like the Boy Scouts. And I took a hold of John 3:16. And so God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's always been my anchor. And I try not to add to or take away from that verse. I do not remember any specific sermons growing up. I was baptized full dunk at 10. And I really did not know the true love of God, but I was motivated by not wanting to be sent to hell. By the time I was in high school, I avoided attending church services. Drugs did not appeal to me. I didn't steal. I didn't like to be around anybody that did steal, but I did find I liked to consume alcohol. I just wanted to have fun and be liked, you know, normal teenage feelings. I was drawn to help people in need. If I saw someone pulled over on the side of the road, like a woman with a flat tire, I would stop and help to offer. And I think in the back of my mind, I was trying to make points with God to cancel out that list of don'ts that I was doing. I had a list of things that I would not do, hoping to cancel out the things that I did do. Now, that really doesn't make sense if you're founded in biblical truth. But I do not ever remember being told or hearing that when I came to know Jesus as Lord, I was recreated and now was a child of God. And excuse me, and that would never change. My perception of God at that time, and any time I let Satan whisper in my ear, is God was not real nice. God cannot be trusted. And would take my salvation if I did not do enough work to maintain an acceptable level of morality. I do not remember much about grace. What I do remember about grace was almost a negative word. Cheap grace is what some folks called it. as I had very little knowledge of grace, I thought, well, maybe they're right. Now, looking back, those folks wanted grace for themselves, but not for anyone who may have broken that list of do's and don'ts. Now, I'm going to get back to this a little more on grace later. Just continue with my life. In the 70s, I had two sons. And we were living a good non-Christian lifestyle by most standards. And I believe I was convicted by the Holy Spirit to make sure that the souls I helped bring into the world would have an opportunity to know Jesus. We spent several months looking for a church home and found what I thought was a good fit. And looking back, I think it was a good fit for that time in our life. You see, I did not want to bring a child into the world and to think that that child may go to hell. And again, hell was my primary motivator. Now, is hell real? Yes, it's very real. Should we as Christians know and believe there's a hell? Yeah. And you really don't want to be sent there? Yeah. But should hell be the motivator to turn your life to Jesus? And I hope it's not. I really hope it's not. You see, you would never trust a God that held that over your head. Now, there's a much better motivation to accept Jesus as Lord. That is the love God has for each and every one of us. Every human is a child of God. No matter how evil or vile that person may seem to us, that person is a child of God. God so much wants to have a relationship with everybody. Kind of what Jackie was talking about there, about Tom or whatever. It's about the same thing. Now, I want to look at some scripture about who we are when we come to Christ. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation." In Revelation 5:10, it says, "You've been made a kingdom of priests to serve God." You see, once we're saved and come to Christ, we are made new inside, and we are to represent Christ. Also, the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." In other words, go and spread the word of God. Now, we go back in ancient history in Israel. The Jewish people were to spread the word of God to the world. They developed a very rigorous religious system that made it almost impossible to be brought into the family of God, not only for their Jewish people, but for anyone not of Jewish descent. They did not show the love of God. They wanted to control these people. Now, their Torah, which is a Jewish list of laws, has over 600 do's and don'ts. Now, while we were traveling through Israel about 15 years ago, would we be entering and leaving a town or a settlement or whatever they called them there, there would be a line of what looked like yarn hanging from the trees. You know, so we asked them, we said, "Well, what's the deal with the yarn hanging on the trees and the plants as we come and left?" And we were told that was one of the Torah laws of how far you could and could not walk on the Sabbath. Then they also had laws on the Sabbath of how you could carry something. It really made no sense, I mean, if you thought about it. But if you carried your load one way, it would be okay. If you carried the load another way, it would be a sin. And I was just amazed how detailed their laws were. Now, if you didn't keep these laws, you were either cast out or dealt whatever punishment the religious leaders would decide, and that would be up to and including death. Now, as we've been studying here the last couple of years with Ted, the book of Matthew and Galatians, it was clear God was not happy with the Jewish religious system and their unwillingness to bring the word of God to the world. Now, after Christ came, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, was given to followers of Christ, or what we now call Christians, us. Now, we are that religious people of the day. We have the same choice as Israel had. make a rigorous religious system of do's and don'ts and try to control morality, or to be like Christ and show the world the true loving God. Now, don't get me wrong, we should try to be moral. But as hard as we try, we can't. Christ said in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, we are called to be Christ-like, gentle, humble, remove burdens, and give souls rest. And what Christ was talking about here in this text was coming to or being part of the family of God. He will never make it hard to know the heart of God. The Jewish religious system made it very hard. They're demanding and no rest. And if we're honest, don't we sometimes try to do the same thing? Now, most of you here will remember Paul Moses. He was an elder here for years before he passed away. And in my opinion, he was a great example of gentle, humble, caring, loving. And I'm sure Paul knew that verse, Matthew 11:28-30. He told me a story one day about his growing in Christ. He belonged to a local body that was part of a national religious system. He liked the people, and he served as much as he could. But he told me he knew he was going to hell. In his heart, he knew he could not keep up with the list of do's and the don'ts he would hear on Sundays. He said, "If I left church after hearing a sermon, it did not feel beat up." He said, "I must have missed something." Paul had given up on being saved. There was no grace, only works. He said he kept a happy face, helped around the church as much as he could, which I heard was a lot. He also prayed to God that somehow God would find a small place for him. He said, because he knew for sure he did not deserve salvation. And actually, Paul was right. He did not deserve salvation. None of us do. But only by God's grace. After he discovered the true love of God and true grace and knew what it was like to try to gain salvation by works, it gave him a great perspective on Christ's yoke. You wanted to know Paul, and he wanted to know you to know that peace and grace that he had. And I know an individual who is very religious. He reads only the inspired translation of the Bible, and he has a clear list of do's and don'ts for everyone. And then if you didn't follow his path, you were most likely going to hell. We were driving one day, and he pointed out a church, and it was a Mormon church. He looked at me and said with a smile, he said, "Those folks are going to hell." And, that's what he said. He said, "They're not going to heaven." He said, "I got news for them." Then he said the same thing about a Jewish neighbor of his. Now, we can discuss the merits of the Mormon religion or the incompleted Jews to whether or not they're saved. That's between them and God. But rather being happy at the thought of them going to hell, it should be done with tears that they are being deceived. That's religion versus love. About 30 years ago, while attending a Sunday service, a young man came into the service I was attending. I don't know if anybody knew who he was. And instead of him being greeted with, like, "Hello, what's your name? Good to see a new face," a regular attendee approached that young man. He informed him that he was now in God's house, and he needed to take off his hat. As far as I know, that young man never came back. Why should he? I didn't say a thing. And that still haunts me 30 years later. About 3 years ago, my wife and I were golfing one day in Idaho, and the starter added added a single to play with us. It was a guy about 30 or so, and he seemed like a nice guy. Well, after a few holes, I asked him, I said, "Are you born again?" And I said, "I wasn't here to preach to you. I just wanted to know something about you." He stammered a little, and then he says, "Well," he said, "I'm a Mormon." He said, "But I don't really attend very much." Now, at that time, I had a choice. I could start telling him all the issues with the Mormon religion or what he should or shouldn't be doing or what I said to him. I said, "Where you go to church is none of my business." I said, "I just wanted to know if you knew Jesus." I left the door open just in case he wanted to continue the conversation about God. Unfortunately, he did not. We had a good round of golf, shook hands when it was done. Now, was I disappointed he didn't want to continue? Yeah, but that's okay. Now, I was hoping he would. But one will never know that if how we treated him and how maybe other Christians treated him, maybe someday he might want to know Jesus. Now, earlier I said I'd get back to grace. And I'm going to continue on with my life as a believer here. I became more and more religious myself. I looked down upon anyone who did not keep up with my list of do's and don'ts. See, I was doing God's work. Then life happened. And my world fell apart. My family was destroyed. My faith was shaken. I started to see the religious system around me. I knew something was wrong. I told my good friend Carl, who was a pastor in Fairbanks, that I was done with religious organizations and there had to be something better. He knew I was moving to Soldotna, and he told me that I'd find a church on K Beach Road. And I really wasn't interested. After I moved down here, I got to know what would later become my brother-in-law, James. We got along good. And he invited me to join this church that did not have a building. He said it was different. There was no formal membership. And he said they called it a family. At the end of that service, I was in tears. I was hearing about the grace of God and the damage of the religious systems. Larry's teaching was something like I'd never experienced, and it had a repeating theme. God is good. God is good. God is good. You see, until you know and believe God is good, you will never fully trust him. To me, grace is knowing God is good. He gives us grace we do not deserve. In fact, just the opposite. We deserve to be condemned, and we are to extend that same grace. Now, what in the world as my life story and some of Paul's have to do with bringing others to Christ? Well, I think it has to do with how we should be introducing the world to Christ. Bringing the unsaved to Christ is not only for pastors, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers, but to us now, the saved, because we're now part of the holy priesthood. And our commandment is for each one of us to bring the world to Christ. We're all given gifts by the Holy Spirit. Very few, though, are pastors and such. The majority of people who come to Christ come through close families and friends. And how you introduce Jesus to others, I think, is just as important. Ask yourself, if I was not a believer, would I want anything to do with your God if you started out with a list of religious duties? Would I want to know, or would I want to know a good God, a loving God, a caring God, a God full of grace? Now, this should be an easy question to answer, and we can look to Jesus for that answer in one place. Probably my second favorite verse right after John 3:16 is John 3:17. It said, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Now, after reading that scripture, I don't see anything about God sending Jesus to confirm a list of do's and don'ts. Jesus was kind and graceful to thieves, prostitutes, tax collectors, Gentiles, everyday ordinary people like us, who at that period were about as low as you could get in the Jewish system. The only ones I see where Jesus was angry and had issues with was the Jewish religious leaders. And again, I've always heard Ted say this many times, and remember, we are now the new religious leaders. So, I'd say ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, to allow God to work through you. Live your life in peace and grace where others will want to have that. And maybe they will ask you, what's the secret? Then you can tell them about this good God who loves them and is extending his grace of salvation. So maybe the big point I'm trying to get across is when introducing God to a non-believer, don't start with moral issues. Like, you have to do this, or you have to quit doing that before you can ask Jesus into your heart. I know some people will cringe with what I just said there. See, God will work out any moral issues that you think that person may have. That will be part of their relationship with God. You may even track somebody steeped in religious works, trying to get on God's good side. And they may want to know this true grace and peace that comes with it. Now, am I going to mess up? Am I going to say or do something really stupid when others are watching? Yep, that's going to happen. Are you? Yeah, you will. Even Paul, the author of a lot of the New Testament, says it this way in Romans 7:19, "For what I do not What I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, I do this, I keep on doing." Now this man, Paul, he met Christ. He had a doctorate in religious systems and rules. So if anyone should not be able to mess up, it should have been him. But he knew as humans we were not perfect and we never would be. See, if we could be perfect and earn our salvation, Christ would not have had to die for us on the cross. We can't, but he did. So give yourself some grace. Give others grace. God does. And remember that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And ask yourself this: if what I'm saying or doing, if what I am saying or doing was observed by a non-believer, would they be thinking, I want that. I want to know that Jesus. That should be your daily hope and your daily prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much that you would allow yourself to work through us and just allow us to even be a part of it. Lord, just put on our hearts to be a light of the world. And Lord, and just be graceful as you are graceful to us. We just love you, Lord, and thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Amen.